This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by the original Jonathan Wick. Jonathan's going to talk about the new book he just authored, a little about the things that he does. He's got an interesting personality and a pleasure of a person and a smart, smart person. Jonathan, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott. Jonathan Wick, I'm the principal of healthcare strategy at TransUnion Healthcare. I was a former chief revenue officer at a large acute care hospital, started transporting patients around the hospital, and then kind of worked myself all the way up to finance and the business side of the healthcare, and just happy to be here today.
Oh, fantastic. And I know you've recently authored a book. You're in charge of healthcare strategy and what you do. You've been a chief revenue cycle officer. What's the book about, and how did you get to authoring this book?
Yeah, the healthcare evolution, helping providers get paid in an era of uncertainty. It really has four sections: what's going on, why is this so hard, how do I get paid, and a promising future question mark. I think healthcare, if anyone were to ask about it, it's a broken system now, and that's what I really wanted to get into, is trying to fix it. It's actually a second book I've written. The first one was called Healthcare Revolution, The Patient is the New Payer. And it really focused on the consumer experience and how patients have trouble just navigating the opaque system. And the only complaint I got from the first book, people really liked it, is I didn't talk about fixing it. So this book actually goes out on a limb and talks about some strategies and how to really fix the U.S. healthcare system and get the ship kind of going in the right direction.
When you talk about fixing it, give us a couple of your thoughts. What are two or three of the thoughts that sort of, you know, go towards fixing it that you think are some of the most important things we ought to be doing?
Yeah, it's funny. I joke tongue in cheek, but I really think healthcare is kind of stuck in 1985. There's lots of faxes and telephone calls and pieces of paper still flying around. As much as we like to say we're in a digital age, it certainly is moving. The book talks through a lot of those challenges with having things on paper and having these antiquated workflows with lots of touch points, having to pick up the phone, for example, and call an insurance carrier and ask if something's covered or not versus just them telling you electronically in a remittance or something like that. That's kind of the first thing is why have we allowed as a society and as stakeholders in the business, you know, these transactions to stay there. We've got banks and retail and airlines and grocery stores that have really revolutionized the delivery of their goods. In healthcare, we've settled for fax machines, staplers, and telephones. There are some things that happen through the computer, but it's if anyone's ever interacted with a healthcare system, it's usually via a phone and it's rarely your cell phone. And so that's one of the big things. I think the second one is really, you know, if you're going to fix it, we got to address that. So that's a technology solution, in my opinion. Part of it is holding, I think, the stakeholders accountable, the government. I think the hospitals also have some culpability in this, as well as the HIT vendors. We all have to meet some sort of standard to where we can move from paper to plastic and start having the EMR be more than a cash register for clinical care. And that really is what I define it as in the book. It tracks and records clinically what's happening. But when you start looking at the functions of revenue cycle, it becomes a very antiquated piece of technology in terms of what it actually can do, in terms of acquiring authorizations or giving a patient an estimate about what their costs are or checking eligibility or even reaching out to the patient and engaging them via text and those types of things. It's moving. I've seen in the last decade it move a little, but it still has some work to do. And finally, I think collaboration is the last one. We need to kumbaya and come together, I think, as stakeholders. And the image of the last book, not this one, had kind of this Venn diagram with four spheres, and those four spheres had the patient, the payer, the providers, and the government really there with the patient in the center. And the questions that are asked are all those stakeholders working towards the patient, or are they working for each other? And until we fundamentally answer that, we're going to keep repeating this cycle over and over again. So those are some of the solutions I suggest in the book.
Well, thank you very, very much, Jonathan. And a question about, you talk about some of the things that are still so challenging because technologically we're back, you know, at least in parts of this, back 20, 30 years from where we should be. But what's going right in healthcare? Is there anything that's going right that sticks out to you that's like, this is going right in healthcare? Not necessarily on the revenue side, but on the revenue cycle side. But what's going right in healthcare?
I think some things that are going right is you're starting to see a genuine momentum, I think, on the provider side in understanding the role of the patient as a consumer these days. And you're seeing innovative health systems actually have a patient engagement or loyalty or experience strategy as being one of their strategic priorities. You're seeing roles actually get hired within the healthcare space of like chief experience officer, and those roles really are there to make sure that that patient can get access to the clinical interventions that are there, and also a relationship is built between that provider and patient that goes beyond just a primary care visit or maybe a visit on a Saturday to an emergency department, to where it becomes more holistic. I think hospitals are doing that twofold. They understand the continuum of care, and they also understand that having a patient come in and out like a revolving door every 3 or 4 months is probably not the best way to treat them holistically. We can get into a discussion about social determinants of health. The book talks about that as well. And 20 to 30% of what a hospital or a healthcare provider does actually impacts health. The other 60 to 70% really surrounds how and where you live. And hospitals are starting to reach out and understand that and really connect with their communities. And I think payers are standing alongside them to help with that as well. So that's a good thing that's going on, I think, is we're treating them outside the walls of the brick and mortar hospital.
Well, thank you very, very much. And what about writing the book itself? Many people dream of writing a book, whether it'll sell a great deal or not. How hard was it to write the book? How much time did it take? How did you go about the process? Did you just start writing? Did you outline? What'd you do?
Yeah, I started with an outline. This is my second round, so I learned a little bit in the first round. I don't recommend it to anyone, Scott. It's extremely challenging and somewhat frustrating. You're an attorney too, so there's a lot of discussions that happen surrounding what you can and can't say, I think, and those are important, right? Healthcare is a pretty personal subject, and there's some personal things that need to be talked about, I think, to fix it. And so I started with an outline, and then I dictated each chapter. That this book has 12, I believe, if I remember right. And each chapter, took about, a week or two to write. And then we reviewed that as had an editorial team help me. And we reviewed that. It probably went through two or three revisions for both tone and prose. And then just, hey, did you think about, we probably should watch it on that and be more balanced. I tried to stay, believe it or not, as much out of politics as I could. You have to talk about politics if you talk about healthcare, but try to stay balanced and try not to put too much of my personal opinion into it. That was very challenging. Healthcare, as you know, is going to be, I think, a big fulcrum for the 2020 election. And writing a book right now it can be a powder keg. And so I wanted to make sure that it presented both sides of things like Medicare for All and Medicaid expansion and the ACA and those types of things to make sure people can kind of make an educated decision when they go to the ballot box and vote.
Well, fantastic. And sort of, you're also involved in various different charity things and stuff like that. What is the Pink Socks concept, and what is that, and what are some of the things about you personally that people should know?
Sure. Pink Socks actually started at a HIMSS conference, believe it or not, with me anyway, about 3 years ago. A gentleman walked up to me and said, hey, I'd like to give you a pair of pink socks. And then, of course, when you're at these conferences, even the ones at Becker's, you're like, okay, what's the catch? Like, do I have to give a business card, or am I going to get a phone call from this guy later or whatever? He goes, no, it's just a gift from me to you. Look it up online. You can go to the hashtag Pink Socks. You can go to the website Pink Socks Life. And you can kind of see what it's at. It's a not-for-profit. They literally just take donations and buy these socks, and it's became this tribe, for lack of a better word, of just love and relationships and networking. I don't know how many pink sockers there are now, but I've seen it grow exponentially in the last 3 years. I bought about a dozen or so socks. I owe you a pair now, since that's kind of the rule. If someone asks you about them, you pass them along, so I'll ship you some, Scott. And I wear them every time I speak now. And so I take a picture of them. And when I speak nationally, probably about 20, 30 times a year, and I'll take a picture and I go, off I go with my socks. And that does both things. I think it brings awareness to the socks, and it also brings awareness to what I'm talking about in the industry and how to fix it. I served on a board at my old hospital and still continued with that in an assisted living. And I also am deeply involved in Healthcare Finance Management Association, HFMA. I'm an officer on their board in Colorado as well, and volunteer for my church quite a bit too. But that's what the pink socks are about.
that's just fantastic. We love it and think it's fabulous. Finally, Jonathan, where can people find your latest book and your latest movie?
Sure. That's funny. The movies, I think you'll have to go see Keanu about that. But the book will be on Amazon in March, and it'll be out there. The other book is there, the Healthcare Revolution, Patients, the New Payer. What's nice is I'm the only Jonathan Wick out there. So if you go look on Amazon and search for that with two I's and a K, you'll find it. And this second book will be, stacked right alongside it, Healthcare Evolution, Getting Providers Paid in an Era of Uncertainty. And it'll be on Amazon. And also when I'm talking at an event, I hope to come to Becker's or these others. I typically have a few in my bag if you walk up and find me. But they'll be on Amazon for sure. And you can, find me on LinkedIn or on Twitter as well. And I can certainly ship you one if you need one that way.
Well, that's fantastic, John. And thank you so much. Congratulations on all that you do. Just a pleasure visiting with you. I have about 10 more questions for you, but I'll let you go. I appreciate so much you joining us. I love what you do. Love your writing. Love what you do with your charitable activities and otherwise, too. And just a pleasure visiting with you, John. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.